Hey, this episode of Tentative is sponsored by Hired. Hired is a platform for top designers and developers to get new jobs. You get an average of 5 offers on the platform with 1 application. You have your job offers, the salary and equity up front before you interview, so you don't have to waste your time interviewing for jobs you might not want. There are companies like Facebook, Uber, Stripe, Thoughtbot, all on Hired. And listeners of Tentative get a $2,000 bonus for signing up using the show's link, hired.com/tentative. Thank you, Hired, for sponsoring our show today.
Have you noticed that people are talking about should designers code again?
Yeah. Like all over the place.
Yeah, my Twitter timeline was blowing exploding up. But I
don't even remember what we said in that episode.
Yeah, I don't either. But but I'm proud of myself for not butting in. Like, I did not.
Right. I feel like we're at this point, we're beating a dead horse. Like,
I was so
come
done.
Come on, let's move on.
I was so done with this topic. Which episode was that? 13? 14?
I don't know. We're going to link to it. Show notes.
Yeah. I actually don't know how this conversation keeps coming back. I did not track the origin of this instance.
People have opinions.
Yeah, but like, what makes it blow off like this, like, last week, but not the week before? Like, there must be a trigger.
Know. I told you, I think people just like cycle through certain topics of what they get uppity about.
Okay.
Like, it's like the should designers code, we're not doing enough accessibility,
the dribbilization of design, or the drip.
Oh yeah, whatever. There we go. That's the one.
Yeah, I think so many of these topics are just like not fresh anymore. And I'm not saying that they're solved problems. I just think that talking about them now does the community less of a service than actually doing something about it. If you, like, regardless of what your opinion is, like, doing is the best way of preaching.
Yeah, especially when like a lot of these arguments just pop up on Twitter, and the 140 character limit and the like real time need for like back and forth, it doesn't add to a very good conversation. And that maybe that's why, is because no one's like, I don't know, no one's come to a really good conclusion, which is probably just people should do whatever the heck they want to do, you know?
Like, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I tried to just ignore most of what I was seeing, and most of these topics, actually, I stopped reading about them and I stopped participating in them, because I think there are bigger, let's say, issues that we need to talk about.
Right.
Like design leadership, or, you know, the balance between doing your job as a designer and respecting your users and their privacy. They're like bigger issues, I think, than, you know, like these things. Like, a question that starts with like, should someone do something, is already like the wrong question. Like, we shouldn't even be asking that.
Should you be eating?
Yeah, I don't think so. Not now. And I think it's at the end of the day, like, as you said, people will calm down for like a few months, and they will like, they will have that itch of like debating on Twitter, and they will look at what they can debate about. They will probably pick one of these topics again.
Well, because I feel like the should designers code pops up every once in a while because one designer says, oh my God, I love writing code. All designers should write code.
Or the other way around.
Which is like, yeah, I'm so glad I didn't have to code that, or something like that.
Or it would be more like a well-known designer who did not get a job because wasn't really good at code or something. And someone else who is less experienced than him got the job because they can code. And I think, yeah, I didn't follow why this one started, but I would suppose it's something like this.
Right.
This question, actually, I think it's relevant. I think the right question we should be asking is like, what role should designers have in their organization? Like, what is the value add that they bring.
That design's bringing. And, but also at the same time, like the design's not going to bring the same value add to every single organization too. So it's going to be, you know, I hope that's, this is what we talked about on our designers, should designers code, is it's like, it totally depends on what your team makeup is and what you're good at and what you want to do as a designer.
Right, right. Yeah, that was pretty much the gist of it.
It's slightly frustrating. Like every single time I'd see something pop up last week, I'd really want to link them to our podcast and
just do it. I did it a couple of times.
Did you? Yeah. I gave up. I just didn't want to get involved, I think.
But this is one good thing about having a podcast is that you can actually archive your opinion somewhere. I think I like that. Like, you know, I'm not ready to talk about this. If you have 30 minutes, 45 minutes, go listen to this episode. If you don't and you don't care, that's fine. Just don't be asking me to be part of this conversation.
Right. At least, though, that it's like a more formalized thought as opposed to like just a 140 character tweet. That
right. I think the way I see it and like in general is that designers should be more empowered to do what they want. I mean, this applies to anyone, but specifically in the case of design, I feel like designers sometimes are limited by their inability to code. And I've been noticing this. Just look at, for instance, the startup landscape. You will find more developers like starting businesses than actually designers. And I'm not sure if it's related to the fact that designers are not, they're like limited by their ability to, you know, to implement their ideas without the need of external help or maybe other factors. But I think empowering designers, it, like there's no way that's going to be a bad thing. I just don't see how. The same way like developers would be empowered by learning design and designers will be empowered by learning development. It's, these things like go hand in hand. It's like it doesn't need to be, oh, this is my turf and this is, and that one there is your turf and we don't cross this line. If anything, I think, yeah, I think designers should do what makes them more autonomous and able to achieve things that they weren't able to achieve before. That applies to developers as well.
Right. It should be a team of people working to create the best product. Each team should figure out how their pieces fit together, basically, is how do the developers cross into a design? How does design cross into development? Is there this intermediate step of front-end development? Whatever the answer there is, if it works for that team, it works for that team and it works for that designer. And if it doesn't work, like they should be trying something else and or learning something else or, you know,
yeah,
not being a team, breaking apart and finding someone else that they should be working with where they do find like the right match of skill sets to produce something that's really well thought out and delivers value to users, customers, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, I think the other aspect of it is that if designers want to be like leaders in their field, I think they need to know more than just design. Like, I think this is one key point. And in case you haven't noticed, I already transitioned to talking about design leadership. And I think things actually overlap nicely because if you're in like a UI designer or interface designer and you want to be a leader in your company, like you need to know what the other people in your company have to go through, like the sort of challenges they have, the sort of as a product, the sort of things you sort of hurdles you might actually face as you develop it. And by develop, I mean both develop and design. I mean as it grows. And not knowing a large aspect of your product is not going to do you any favors. I mean it's hard to argue that knowing something is bad for someone.
Right. I think that's where a lot of these arguments fall apart is like knowing something is never going to be bad. It's a matter of hopefully what is someone putting the time towards learning? Are they putting time towards becoming, sharpening their skills as a designer, like visual design, user experience, doing user research, that kind of thing? Or are they building or sharpening skills as, you know, front-end-ish type person, which is like HTML, CSS, JavaScript, or even like going, digging deeper and diving into like Rails or Python or whatever else,
you know, yeah,
programming languages. I agree. I think there's two ways that designers can go too. I would say that the other direction is learning about business. And maybe that's one of the reasons why, you know, historically, a lot of the bigger startups have been all, you know, started by developers, programmers. I do think that that's a trend that's starting to change, because I think there's becoming a lot more emphasis on design within the startup business world.
Yeah.
And I think designers learning either end of that spectrum of like diving into more business and how businesses run and how to run a startup is just as important as having an understanding of what goes on in the back end. And I would say that too, like there are a lot of our customers come to us and they're business people, and they don't have any, you know, design or development knowledge. And part of what we do is hopefully like teach them about our process and have them participate in our process and, you know, get at least some sort of firsthand glimpse into what it is to be a designer, what it is to be a developer, or at least what Thoughtbot's opinion of those two roles are.
Yeah, I mean, in our case, it's a little bit easier for designers because they always have developers working with them. But in the case of like startups, things could be a little bit different because you might not have that sort of help. Yeah, and so you talked about a couple of things. Talked about how designers need to know the business aspects of things.
Wait a second, I didn't say they need to know.
Well, sorry, they do not need.
I said they should know.
Well, how is that different?
I was joking. Designers should know business.
Not
I'm going to start the new designer should know code.
Yeah, they should know accounting. I think that's an interesting point as well. But I think what I'm trying to say is that if you learn anything more than just design, it will help you better contribute to the organization you're working for or you're creating if you're a founder or co-founder.
I totally agree. I think, you know, the more design touches each individual part of the business, like the better off the business will be. Like there are design aspects of business and of marketing and of development, and just as much as there's design aspects of design.
Right.
In each one of those, those jobs, there's like a creative aspect and a design aspect, whether they're recognizing it or not.
Yeah. I'm actually saying this because I feel like a lot of times designers are dismissed as artists, like by the business people or by the developers. Like, you guys are too pie in the sky. You're not realistic enough or pragmatic enough to be able to lead a business. And I think that's what needs to change, I feel. Like, a lot of, if you see what I mean, like, a lot of times, like, it's easy to dismiss a designer as someone who does not know all the aspects of getting something successful out the door.
I agree with that. I think there has been a stigmatism or some sort of conception that design is just the layer on top.
Right. Yeah.
The visual design, the way that it looks, and that's design is so much more than that, right?
Yeah, totally.
And I think, or at least I hope, that that's starting to change.
Yeah, I think it is, but I mean, at the same time, there is still like a lot of companies who keep these roles very separate and actually limit like the designer, the furthest they can go in a company is maybe a creative director or something. And that involves mostly like, you know, having a team of junior designers that they oversee. But they still have a lot of the business or the product decisions are not coming from that person. They typically come from a larger team. So basically what I'm saying is that designers still do not, are not like as lucky as engineers or developers in their prospects of going very far in a, especially larger organizations. I think in startups, I think it's not as the same level.
Yeah, there's very few startups that have or have had like a VP of design, a chief design officer, that kind of top rung
right.
design role.
I was glad to see Apple do that for Johnny Ive.
Yeah, but they totally copied us, man.
Yeah, it was the same week as your nomination.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot more of that, and
I think it's a good sign. Yeah,
it is a good sign. Specifically, like design leadership at Facebook is really strong. And I've been seeing a lot more VP of design titles from people on Twitter and stuff like that. I think a lot of that too is those people need to have a voice and start speaking about design leadership and design leadership in those companies and how it's helping those companies grow.
Yeah. Do you know like how, like what these organizations did, like more concretely, like is it more like promoting the design team to higher positions or hiring people from outside with more experience? Do you have any idea of how they approach this?
I have no idea. Cause like, I know for Facebook, the design leaders there that I know of, so there's Julie Zhu.
Yeah.
I believe she started there, so she's been promoted within.
Okay.
But Jeff Tian and John Lax were just recently hired as design leadership, acqui-hired. But the nice thing, like those three people, the reason that I know about them is because they're very prolific and writing a lot. Cap Watkins from BuzzFeed, he also writes a lot too about design leadership. So I think the more that people like them, and I guess people like us, should write and podcast, the better off the design community will be, talking about how design has affected those organizations, especially an organization like Google and Facebook, where they're giant organizations, they have giant design teams, and design is making probably huge differences at those places. Yeah.
Can we open a bracket and talk about that? I feel like a bracket. Sorry, that's not the word I should use. Is that parenthesis? curly brace. All right, open curly brace. I feel like I'm happy to see like that a lot of larger companies are aware of this, are trying to make their design team more empowered and have a voice of their own. But at the same time, I feel like looking at these companies is not always inspiring, because a lot of the things they make are not typically things that we look up at as like, you know, like design work that will go down in history as something that changed things for the better. I mean, there is the Facebook hamburger, but it's not going to be remembered for the same reasons. What I'm trying to say is a lot of people would relate more if it was from products that they love and use. Maybe people love Facebook. I don't know. I just, because I don't use Facebook, I'm assuming that people don't love it as much.
I'm also coming at it from a point of view of non-designers. Okay. And so non-designers hearing about how design leadership has affected those companies and is a big prominent part of those companies.
Do you think they hear about that?
I don't know.
Yeah. Because
my hope is that they do.
We're just assuming, because we hear about it because we're a part of it. But I wonder if, that voice has a echo that goes beyond the small circle of
designers. Of people.
Yeah, of designers. Yeah, it would be interesting to know. But regardless, I think it's a good thing. And close the curly brace. or bracket. What I was trying to point at is basically like these organizations, they set the example, but I would like to see that trickle down to the medium and small companies as well, because that's where you see the impact like a lot more on the because you know these companies are like huge, and I mean it's as good as it is to have their design team have a voice, they remain still like constrained by a lot of other things that go in the company. Whereas like a company of 10, 20, 100 people, I think it would benefit more from that, especially since typically the company is still growing. So the design thinking could permeate everything they do as they grow. Whereas like the others feel like they're playing catch up, like, oh yeah, we need to do this now. We're too big. And a lot of our processes has been around for a while, but like it would be more powerful if it was fundamental to how the company works in its very, very like early stages.
Yeah, no, I agree 100% with that, especially with how early on, you know, the process for doing certain things at those companies is probably already established. And at that point, yeah, you're looking at, oh, we need design. We need to slap on this interface.
Yeah. Or we need, like, we're done with this. Can you make it look good or sexy or whatever?
Make it work really well.
Yeah. Not work. I think work is a bit too much responsibility.
No, just, I do like, think make it that look people good. Say after it's already been kind of made, they say, oh, we need the UX of this to be really good. Right, they know kind of. I said about.
Oh yeah,
they know.
Yeah, you did. You broke one of the fundamental rules of this podcast.
I lost a point.
Yep.
I totally lost track too.
Don't worry. It's you were talking about UX. I will not lose track of this.
They see user experience and UI as this like the same thing. Where like, even though if you've already built an app. Like slapping on this interface and suddenly like you also need to make it work really well too. Yeah, I think what we're getting at is making sure that the original designer starting at the company is hired early or is one of the founders.
Yeah.
And that they're influencing, that they're, you know, teaching about design thinking and how design thinking can help other aspects of that startup business, whatever it is.
And also I think it's important to have the other staff of the company also be aware of design. Like they don't need to be designers, but they need to know what is good design and what is design in general. Because like having just a designer co-founder is not enough. Like if it's gonna be, oh, you do the visual stuff, I do the technical stuff, and our third co-founder does the business stuff, that's not good. It needs to be like, we do this together and each of us knows more about this aspect, but all of our input is valued equally into making this. And we all like follow the same, like, you know, thinking patterns and things like that. So I think it's important to make the distinction between just hiring designers or having them in the team and actually listening to them and interacting with them. And I think it's important to have a little bit of knowledge, I guess, about design. Or not knowledge, but like understanding what design is and that it's not just making things pretty. I think it's very important.
I think part of that, or all of that, is, you know, the designer on that team to educate the rest of the team of what design is, right?
What if they don't listen to him or her?
Then you're in a pretty bad situation.
Well, that's what happens most of the time. Like that's like the designer would try to do that, and as I said earlier, some of the things they say will be taken into consideration, but other things will be shelved because they are too designery for them. I think this happens far too often than what we might think. At least from what I hear when I talk to people, like I feel like a lot of designers don't feel listened to in their organization. It's a problem. I agree, and it's, I think it's too late. if you get to this point, like, this organization is not going to change. So probably should leave that job and try to find another one. And I guess this is also why we end up with so many crappy things, is because of this. Like, there's the business people trying to push their agenda, and like developers also taking shortcuts and whatnot. Yeah, and it typically ends up being a lazy like outcome, or a bad outcome resulting from laziness and not actually following good design practices. Like, a lot of designers, for instance, are, we talked about this in the past, are forced to implement like dark patterns in whatever, in the product they're working on. That's a case against like having good design leadership.
Yeah. I also think that this gets back to our opening conversation about should designers code. Like, it again kind of is the makeup of your team. And if your team doesn't trust you enough to like listen and learn from you, then there's issues with your team. And that's also a two-way street. Like, you the designers on the team, they should be respecting and trusting the business people, the user researchers, the developers, everyone else on the team, to both have that domain knowledge and be able to influence the things that they're doing as well, and be able to teach them about it as well too. So kind of like, if they're not listening, they're either, they don't have respect or trust. The team is just not a good team.
Yeah. And in that case, there isn't much that design could solve. I mean, it could in some ways by trying to understand the problem and solving it, but sometimes just not. We're dealing with the humans, so it's not a pull request that's going to fix that.
It's not like...
Or maybe yes, if you can just fire everyone with a pull request.
That sounds...
Or like resign.
Bad. There are times where it's like everything's not going to be hunky-dory all the time, right? You're going to have to fight for design at times too. Like, it shouldn't...
Sure.
It shouldn't be everyone... Like, ideally it would be like that, but I don't want everyone listening to this to be like, screw it, I'm quitting my job.
Oh, no. So are you trying to say that you will be like, people should not just listen, they should also participate?
Right. They should do both.
Yes.
I mean, that's what we as designers should be doing no matter what. Like, as designers, we should be listening to our users, listening to the business objectives, and producing something out of that, and then going back and listening again. All of those inputs should be taken into account as we're designing something.
Yeah, sure. I might have made it sound that everyone should just listen to the designer and shut up. But in a way, I think that's what it should be when the opposite is happening. Like, when everyone is just butting in and having their opinions and they force them on the product, I think to solve that, we should go the other extreme. And then ideally we'll end up somewhere in the
middle. Right. Ideally, like, the designer is looking at all of these inputs and taking them into account and building a great product out of them, and telling people, okay, we did these things because of this and these things because of this, and we didn't do all of this stuff because of all of these reasons. Like, it should, like any good relationship, like, there should be both a back and forth. There should be listening and trust and everything else that goes along with good relationships.
Yeah. For instance, I don't trust you. So
we don't have a good relationship.
You can't.
No,
fix
but
that.
We haven't been on a team together since what, like 3 or 4
that's
years
for
ago.
The better. So that's for the, yeah. That's for
maybe
the,
that's the reason why.
That's for the better. Yeah. I think the other thing that irks me is that I'm not going to comment on any of this. Take it with a grain of salt, listeners. The other thing that irks me is a lot of companies, they're complaining that they can't find good designers, or they can't hire them. And I think the problem is not they can't find like good designers. It's like the type of designers they want can't be good, like, in any circumstances. It's like you read the job offer, and it just feels like you're going to be sitting on a desk implementing whatever you're taught to, you know, you're instructed to, and that doesn't sound fun, if you see what right. I mean. And then people was like, oh, the designers are so hard to come by these days. A lot of times I just would like to, you know, to respond, you know, I think you are not looking for good designers. Your job posting should be, we are hiring a bad designer. Please apply if you're bad and you suck. That's like what it reads. Like, it wants a designer who is good at 600 like things, like, oh, you should do HTML and jQuery and CSS, and also you should be able to work, you know, like during weekends, and do PSD to HTML conversion and do this. That is not a job listing of a good designer. That you're looking for a machine, and that's not, I mean, you're not going to get someone who is smart to apply.
Right. I think the scope of that and what they're asking them to do, the combination of the two won't mix. Like, I think you can find good visual designers that you can say, hey, here's what we want on the interface, you know, make me a good visual design, or really good user researchers where they're like, here's the interface, go do some research for me. I do think there are people out there that will just spit out HTML and CSS, and they won't have that much of an opinion on what is being built, and maybe those aren't great designers, but they're still creating value for the business.
Yeah,
but I agree with you. Like, if a lot of those job postings are asking for a lot, and they're not giving any responsibility either, they're essentially being told a laundry list of things to do and a laundry list of things they need to be able to do. But also not have an opinion.
Yeah. And I think since this is actually, I wanted to just talk about this very briefly. I think it links both the topic we talked about at the beginning and this. I'm of the opinion that designers should learn to code things, right? And I think that's great. I am not of the opinion that a designer should learn all the current JavaScript frameworks out there. That is nuts, and no one should be expected to do that. Like, oh, you should know HTML, CSS, and React, and Ember, and maybe Angular. And it's like, no, this is you're getting into like front end developer territory. Even though we don't have that title here at Thoughtbot, because we have developers who do both back end and front end. But at the same time, like, I don't want designers to be expected to do things they don't want to. Like, you would expect a designer to know some HTML and some CSS, or that sum could be variable depending on the company. But it would be a little bit too much to ask from a designer to be on top of all the frameworks that came out last week. Doesn't make sense.
Right. I think that's one of the things that bothers me the most. And I think we talked about this on our Should Designers Code, is knowledge is like a grayscale, and like, you can have very limited knowledge of what something is and a very deep knowledge of what something is. So, like, I would expect every designer to know about HTML and CSS and what they can and can't do if they're designing for the web.
Right.
Like, as a designer, you should know what is possible and what isn't possible. And if you don't, you hopefully you're sitting next to someone that does, and you're getting constant feedback from them.
Right.
But because, like, if you don't, you're either designing a screen that'll never be used, or you're designing for print. Like, you do need to know the medium that you're designing for, or have some understanding. Absolutely. Of what the medium is you're designing. Yes. For. That doesn't mean that you have to execute every single line of code, every single line of HTML and CSS to be a good designer.
No, absolutely. I totally agree. You need to know what you're designing for, but you do not need to know every tool in that medium, because there are so many tools now that it's actually absurd to keep track of everything. Right. So as you said, for a web, so for someone who would like to focus on web, like a little bit of HTML and CSS, or if they want to focus on mobile, then some basic knowledge of Xcode and some basic Swift, something like that, I think would be the absolute minimum for someone to be efficient in their job. But again, I would just come back to the point that we don't want the other extreme where designers are supposed to fill like three positions at once. Like you're a designer and a front-end developer and also something else. I think it's just not, it's not going to help anyone. Like you won't find a person who can do all of these well. And even if you do, they're not going to stay long in that company because they're smarter than that. So they will move on. They will go and start their own company or just go to a better company where they are more respected and have more responsibility.
Or like most of the people that I know that do that are people that work from the, for themselves, that know how to both code and design really well. When I say code, I mean program, like build an application themselves and do well-executed design. They all seem to work for themselves.
Not. I know a lot of people who do both and they work at big companies like, I don't know, Airbnb, Facebook. I think it's becoming less of a like a rarity nowadays to find someone who can do both. But this observation you had is because a lot of people who work for themselves, they need to know everything to not have to hire people. But I think even organizations could benefit from people who can do a lot more than one thing because they just, you gain an efficiency and you get more insight. Like the more people know, the more insight they will have, the more interesting conversations that will happen and the more interesting like ideas people will have. Because like a lot of times, like some ideas do not come if you do not know something. It's just like, I forgot what it's called, but the brain typically like has a lot of like boxes and the best ideas come from things that are not in any one of these boxes, but somewhere in between. So it pulls a little bit from here and a little bit from here. And that's typically why I say like having experiences, like regardless of what kind of experiences they are, it's always going to be good because you do not know when that experience will help you solve a problem. It could be in a real life problem or a work problem or a design problem. But this is all to say that, yeah, I think people should do what empowers them. And I think designers would be more empowered by knowing more things and having like more active roles or leadership roles in their organizations.
That was really good. And I think we should end on that.
Yeah, I think I won't say anything smarter than this today.
Yeah, that was great. I think that we should close on that. That was awesome. Thank you for chatting with me. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you, our dear listeners. You should write us more. We mostly receive spam. Just say hi. Like, even if you don't have any questions or feedback, just like
let
say
us know
hi.
That you're
I
out
like
there.
You guys. Yeah, just we want to know you. Like, I know a few people through Twitter that listen to the podcast, and I met two in real life, but for the silent majority, if there is, I hope I did not meet everyone who listens to the podcast. It's hosts@tentative.fm
or on Twitter @tentative.fm.
Yeah, you can tweet at us as well @tentative.fm, one word.
So you can find the show notes at tentative.fm/24. And as always, if you like the show, please rate us on iTunes. If you didn't like the show, contact us and tell us why. And you can rate us on iTunes too.
Yeah, and let your friends know about the podcast too. We'd appreciate it.
Cool. Okay.
All right.
See you later.
Bye.